Thank you for inviting me here. Today I'll talk about policy-based on deformations of Kleinian singularities. So the plan is first I'll define policy of traces and explain why one can be interested in them. So then I'll describe Kleinian singularities of type A, explain how to construct their deformations and Q deformations, and formulate a problem that I worked on. Then I'll describe twisted traces and policy of traces for deformations and for Q deformations. And then, if the time remains, I will tell about some additional stuff, like classifying similar objects for bimodules, classifying positive traces for Q deformations in alternative way that works for other interlinear automorphisms, and future plans. Let's start. All algebras are over C unit. We choose an antilinear automorphism rho, and we need a notion of twisted trace. It's like a usual trace, but with so instead of like a usual exchange of two elements, like in usual trace or in matrix trace, we have this automorphism, and we say that the trace is positive if this condition holds for non-zero A. What does it mean? So we can define the following linear form as this, and it turns out that so positivity means that it's positive definite, but it also satisfies a certain invariance condition like this. So positive traces are in one-to-one correspondence forms like that. You can set B equal to 1 here in the other direction. If we take A equal to the central reduction of universal enveloping algebra of semi-simple D algebra, this corresponds to spherical unitary representations of corresponding Lie group. We should take corresponding GK module and take its complexification. I'll explain it in more details on the next slide. And our motivation, we shall talk more about, is that the subjects appear when we study Coulomb branches of three and four dimensional theories. Are there any questions? Talk about spherical unitary representations. So G is a semi-simple Lie group. We choose its maximal compact subgroup. We say that an infinite dimensional representation, unitary representation V of G, is called spherical if there exists a vector that's fixed by a compact subgroup. And in any case, we have a correspondence between between representations of G and GK modules, Harisch-Chandra modules, that works as follows. We take a set of K finite vectors, and it will be a representation of the algebra G with an action of K. And if the representation was unitary, then the corresponding GK module has invariant positive definite Hermitian form. So the condition that it's a group action translates to a certain invariance condition, similar to the previous slide. We had spherical vector, then can be shown that the corresponding if we take corresponding GK module and take its complexification, we get a central reduction of U of G as a bimodule over itself, over U of G. Again, positive trace is defined just by setting second element equal to 1. So this is one of the motivations. It's a mathematical motivation to consider this object. So we take a classical problem of describing unitary representations of Lie groups and generalize it somehow. So maybe it will help us. And also there are certain functors between different categories of Harish-Chandra modules that maybe will help us. But I won't talk about it in details. Okay, so now we turn to physics. So we have a notion of graded algebra, and we have a notion of star product on a graded algebra that appears in a lot of places in physics. So we take a usual product A times B and deform it by adding smaller order terms. Turns out that all star products that appear in physics satisfy additional property, at least some, that they are short, meaning they end sooner than you may expect. So it's if we have elements of different degrees, then it ends not at 0 or 1, but sooner. Their difference. This is a definition that appeared in a physics article by Beam, Pilias, Rastelli, who tried to use this property and some other additional properties of star product to compute them on certain objects. I will describe that in details on the next slide. One of the main constructions that we'll use is the notion of filtered deformation. It works as follows. So there is a notion of filtered algebra, a bit weaker than graded. And we have a notion of associated graded algebra. So we take this direct sum of quotients, and there is a multiplication naturally defined on this object. If this associated graded of curly A is isomorphic to straight A, we say that curly A is a filtered deformation of straight A. And we fix the isomorphism between associated graded and straight A. This object is called a filter deformation of A, or a quantization if we have additional data of Poisson bracket here compatibly with multiplication on curly A. I'll provide more examples below, but one of the basic examples is that Weyl algebra is a filtered deformation of a polynomial algebra where each variable has a grading or filtration 1. Are there any questions up to this point? Okay. What is the correspondence between star products and filtered deformation? So we have to choose an additional piece of data called quantization map. So we choose an isomorphism between straight A and curly A that does not respect multiplication, because it's commutative on one side and non-commutative on the other. That respects grading. So for each A in graded piece D, we choose its lift to that is identified with this quotient, we choose its lift to the curl A itself. And we use such map to define a star product on straight A as follows. We take two elements, send them to curl A, multiply, and then send them back. So this provides, so from a filter deformation and a quantization map, we obtain a star product. And in the other direction, if we have a star product, we just use it to define a new algebra structure on the same set and identify them as the same set. This is if you put Z2 equivariance everywhere, it will define a bijection between star products and quantizations with quantization map. Note that this is not like if you want to, if you're interested in star products, this is not a very useful statement because you have too much freedom in choosing this phi. At each point, each time you choose an element of the basis in AD, you have this FD minus 1 A freedom. So you have the space of all possible phi is the product of all these vector spaces by all elements of basis of A, and it's very infinite dimensional space. So it doesn't tell you much about star product. There are too many star products corresponding to a given quantization. And it's not good if you're interested in star products.
So you have different choice of a phi, just
a different star product.
And just to be optimal, isomorphic to each other.
If I
have two star
problems
with two different phis,
there should be a certain map. Sometimes you will get a different algebra. The corresponding algebras are not necessarily isomorphic. There may be several filter deformations of a given graded algebra. But even if the algebra structures are the same, even if they are isomorphic, this isomorphism may break your star product.
Are you asking, given a quantization, if you choose two different quantization maps, you get two different star products? But there's an isomorphism. So you're just composing the quantization maps.
Yes. Are there any other questions? Yes. So this is these are standard facts that were known for a long time, and I'll describe what happened after 2016, after this notion of short star product appeared. The other property is positivity. If we take an element of degree k. And rho is a certain antilinear map on A that comes from some physical considerations. And if you take this k term in star product, that lands you into a zero part of your algebra that is identified with complex numbers. It's a requirement on the graded algebra. So if this number is greater than zero for all A, we say that this star product is positive. It's some property that is physically meaningful. Star products are expected to satisfy because positivity is expected. This is another property that we take. Mathematical investigation of short star products was done in an article of Ettinghoff and Stryker, 2019 or 2020. And they try to classify short star products. Okay, not all, but satisfying a certain additional condition. And if you're interested in positive short star products, then there is a bijection between short star products and pairs of filter deformation and a positive trace T. Note that there is no quantization map here. You get it naturally from this trace T. So it's a very good result because it says to you that instead of some very infinite dimensional space of possible choices, you get some finite dimensional space of choices corresponding to this trace T. And also the space of algebras curly A is also finite dimensional if you put some conditions on the grid algebra A. So the space of all possible pairs is also finite dimensional compared to the situation before. And
is it that you split the filtrations by using the orthogonal complement of the variance?
I'll explain it here. So in the one direction is more straightforward if we have a positive short star product. Again, we use it to define a multiplication, new multiplication on the same set, and T is a constant term map. It takes zero piece, which is examples. And the positivity condition holds just because it's another way to write multiplication. In the other direction, indeed, as you said, we given an quantization and a trace, we somehow have to define a corresponding quantization map. So we have to choose a splitting of F G minus one filtration inside FTPs. And in order to do it, we use the Hermitian form given by T. So this is orthogonal complement with respect to this form C of A rho of P. So when we define the complement in a natural way, we use it to get this quantization map. Yes. It should be calligraphic A. Here. Yes. Everything except this should be calligraphic. So this is how it works in the other direction. Use this positive form to define splitting and to define quantization map. Fine. So are there any questions about this construction?
So you can ask what are the shortness?
You want to check you want to check that A star B does not have any smaller order terms. You take this scalar product with C, which has a small degree, but using invariants, you can write this as B C star rho of A, and assuming that the B has the largest degree, this thing lies in the large part and this in small, and they are orthogonal. So this gives you shortness.
Because you define this as.
Yes. Yeah, because this is orthogonal to all of this. Of course. So now we, what I said, it's a good result because we have some finite dimensional freedom instead of infinite dimensional. And also sometimes a policy of trace is unique. So this is very good because just by quantization, just given just quantization, we already get the corresponding policy of short star product. So this was one of the initial motivation to consider, one of the initial motivations to consider this object. BIM, Pilaris, and Rastelli tried to compute some star products using just these properties, shortness, positivity, and also evenness, that there is a certain automorphism of this curly A that with certain conditions of graded A that flips the star product. It turned out that this is not possible, that sometimes the space of such short star products is not one-dimensional, but finite-dimensional. So there are several positive traces satisfying this additional evenness property. Describe the objects that I work with. So if H is a finite subgroup of SL2, we can form a quotient and these are Kleinian singularities and they are often appear in a lot of places in math and physics and they are classified by simply laced Dynkin diagrams. These finite subgroups are classified by simply laced Dynkin diagrams similar to Euclidean finite subgroups of rotation of a three-dimensional plane, three-dimensional space. So there are Kleinian singularities of type A, D, and E. And I'll describe you Kleinian singularities of type A. So the corresponding group is cyclic, generated by this diagonal matrix. And if we take the corresponding invariant polynomials, we see that this subalgebra is generated by x to the n, y to the n, and xy. And the only relation on them is the product of those two, third to the power n. So the corresponding singularity is given by one equation in a three-dimensional space. These objects are example of Coulomb or Higgs branches for quiver gauge theories. Now I'll describe their filtered deformations.
So
is a polynomial of degree n. We can consider algebra with it can be checked that if we take associated graded, it will be the Kleinian singularity I just described. U and V are in filtered piece 2, and U and V are in filtered piece n, and Z is in a filtered piece 2. So if you take associated graded, we'll get commutative algebra with one relation on the product of U and V. Any deformation can be obtained in this way. So if we have any non-commutative deformation, it's isomorphic to such algebra. First example is if this polynomial is just x, when we get while algebra. So the third generator is not needed here. If we deform, this corresponds to the previous example that while algebra is a deformation of a algebra of polynomials in two variables. Yeah, and if we have n equal 2, then we get a central reduction of universal envelopable algebra of SL2. So standard generators are defined like this, and it can be checked that indeed we have relations on commutators and that Casimir equals to some number. Yes, well, any questions? Okay, now I'll describe Q deformations. So it's a certain further Q generalization of deformations of Kalinin singularities. And now we have to take a Laurent polynomial, and instead of this additive commutators, we should take these multiplicative commutators, which are given by this. So, like, morally, this large z is small z, is exponent of small z to the h bar. And q is e to the h bar, I h bar. So, yeah, if we define objects like this and take a limit q equal to 1, h bar equal to 0, we get the algebra on the previous slide. So, indeed, a Q generalization. And examples. First one is okay, here we can take P just equal to 1. And now V is just U minus 1. So this is algebra generated by, it should be Z to the plus minus 1. U plus minus 1, Z plus minus 1, and the only relation that remains is this commutator relation, so we have a Q-while algebra. And also similarly, if we take P with two roots, but write it in a symmetric way, then should be plus C somewhere here, we get a central reduction of quantum enveloping algebra of SL2. And the correspondence between these generators and the standard generators of quantum enveloping algebra is as follows. The formula for Casimir here is this, and again it can be checked that the relations are there's Q commutators and Casimir equals to some number. We get some objects that generalize universal enveloping algebras of SL2 and quantum universal enveloping algebra of SL2. Filter deformations were considered by Beam, Pilaris, and Rastelli. They tried to compute the star products on Kalinin singularities of type A. So they try to do it in cases of n equal to 2, 3, 4, and 2 is standard, and in 3 and 4, they got some numerical formulas that we later confirmed with abstract computations.
By the way, is this also the trigonometric Chernik algebra? CN?
I must say, I'm a student of Pavel, but I never learned the...
Okay, fair enough.
I hope so. I mean, it's like... As far as I know, this is an example of K-theoretic Coulomb branch, but I don't know how if you have Higgs branch, so how do you make this fancy Higgs branch? So, as I understand, for quivers, it's like multiplicative quiver variety or something, but for Higgs branches, it's somehow harder, at least this part. We want to classify positive traces on these objects. So in order to do this, we want to define an involution row. that we'll use in this that is a part of a definition of positive trace, and it is it's
just
for even n it just interchanges u and v and sends z to minus u. So it can be checked that it's well defined then is symmetric with respect to such map. So like P is it means that P is real on imaginary line, and the one corollary of this is its root are symmetric with respect to this map alpha goes minus alpha bar. So its root is either imaginary, or with if we have non-imaginary root, we have a root with opposite real part. Again, the problem is to classify positive traces. Note that here rho square is identity, so it's traces, not twisted traces. But if you want to work with twisted traces and also define this for odd n, we can slightly generalize this formula by taking into account that n may be odd, and also having some additional freedom that we multiplying the result by a number of absolute value 1. C here is real from 0 to 1. And the condition is slightly different. Here I and P is real
on IR.
So again, this condition is the same, that roots are symmetric with respect to imaginary line, but the leading term now is again real. Yeah.
Always real.
Yes, leading term is real, but constant term here is real and here is imaginary. Yes, so we are trying to solve this problem for algebras A with such parameter. Number from 0 to 1, real number from 0 to 1, just a way to describe a complex number with absolute value 1 in the upper half plane. So in the upper half plane, because the lower is given by these signs and the answer depends on the sign. I won't talk too much about it, but it depends whether it's plus or minus. Here, with this plus sign is in case of n equal 2, it corresponds to involution on U of SL2 that defines, not defines, but corresponds to split real form of SL2C. And if we take minus signs, it will be compact form of SL2C. So the corresponding positive traces will correspond either to standard infinite dimensional unitary representations of SL2C or to just finite dimensional representations of SU2 times SU2, something like that. So yeah, there is a difference since this sign is important. So for we also pose this problem for Q deformations. In this case, there are less issues with signs. We just can interchange U and V anytime and send Z to Z minus 1. Similarly, when we try to this map is well defined when this condition holds. So again, it means that the roots of V are symmetric with respect to inversion with respect to the unit circle, bar minus one. But with Laurent polynomials, we have more freedom. They can be multiplied by powers of Z. And this condition also fixes this freedom of Laurent polynomials. So it says that their coefficients should be like symmetric with respect to zero. It starts with M, it ends with minus M. Yeah, and again, we have we can consider other maps, and we can use this freedom in Z, so we can multiply results not only by a complex number, but also by a power of Z. Here it's Z minus A. So there are more maps here than before. I'm telling you maps, automorphisms. So I mainly work with case of k equals zero, then there are no z's here, but recently learned from Davide that k equal to m, this m is better, it's a more physically standard choice, and in this case we have a theorem, it's k is a Q deformation, rho is this conjugation if k equal to m and s equal to 1, then if a positive trace exists, it is unique. And we know then when this trace exists. I'll describe it later. Are there any questions up to this point? Okay. So now I'll tell you how to solve this problem, how to classify positive traces on deformations and on Q deformations in case when k equals to zero. So now we'll start by just describing all traces. So we can use this element small z to like this small z acts diagonalizably, and we can take eigenspace decomposition. Each AL is either U to the L times polynomials in Z or V to the minus L times polynomials in Z. And using trace condition for the Z, we see that T is zero on any AL with L not equal to zero. So T is supported just on this zero piece. And there is also condition how it behaves on this zero piece. It's just the one condition written like this. So P is our parameter in the of deformation. And if you take any polynomial R, then this should happen. Shift difference is zero. Let me now. It turns out that this characterization is not very convenient for classification of positive traces. So, like, it can be done, but it's painful, and I don't recommend it. Partially, it can be done partially, even not completely. More robust way is. To rewrite this trace in a more convenient form. So suppose for specificity that all roots belong to this open strip, real part less than one, from minus 1/2 to 1/2. Then we can form function W of x. It's a one periodic function that has exponential decay. So these conditions mean that it has exponential decay on plus and minus I infinity when it goes up and down. With like described poles, it has poles at the shifted roots of P, like alpha plus 1/2 plus all the integers. So we take such weight, then such integral is well defined for all polynomials, and turns out that this is trace. So it's essentially the fact that integral of a, if we shift contour of integration of a holomorphic function, and there are no poles when we shift, then the integral remains the same. So it's this condition that W has some prescribed poles. And turns out that all traces can be obtained in this way, because the dimension of all possible q's is n minus 1 here. It's n minus 1. It's n, and it's n minus 1. And the dimension of space of non-twisted traces is the same. And this can be generalized. So if you consider twisted traces, if we have this parameter c on 0, then we just have to multiply by this additional term that makes it not strictly periodic, quasi-periodic, but we don't have condition q of 0 equals to 0, because it already tends to 0 when x tends up. So this is we can rewrite all traces in this way, and turns out it's very convenient. I'll explain you how. Are there any questions about this?
So if you imagine the statement that the trace, the dimension of the space of traces is less than the minus one, which is equal to this.
Yes.
Could you make me
it's a certain the condition is that so we have this t of p of x plus 1/2 r of x plus 1/2 minus p x minus 1/2 x minus 1/2 is 0. This is a linear subspace of codimension n in polynomials, because p has degree n, so it's codimension n. Map that sends polynomial s to s x plus 1/2 x minus 1/2 is a surjective map with kernel 1. So the codimension of image is n minus 1. So the space of such t is exactly n minus 1. Yeah, and similarly here we have degree exactly n, but if we put some t here, this map has no kernel, so the codimension here will be exactly n. Thank you. Now we'll turn to positivity condition. How do we deal with it? So again, this is the definition, and it can be checked that the corresponding Hermitian form, this at z eigenspaces are orthogonal with respect to this form. It's enough to check positivity for this homogeneous elements, and it can be checked that n is equal to 0 or 1, and we will not work with this degree 1 piece. We'll fix on degree 0 piece for simplicity. So if m equals 0, then these elements A are just polynomials in Z. So this A rho of A can be written like this. This is a polynomial that is positive on imaginary line, and any such polynomial can be written as sum of this. So this trace condition C of A rho of A greater than zero for these elements, for like half of the elements, translates to this. And using certain density theorems, we see that it is true if and only if this weight is non-negative on imaginary line, because the completion of this of a space of such polynomials in the corresponding L2 space is just a space of all non-negative functions on imaginary line. And if we using that W is Q over curly P, and we can check that curly P is zero on this imaginary line, this gives condition that Q is greater than zero for x greater than zero, for these arguments e to the pi I x, that come from imaginary line. And also it can be checked that if you take other half of the elements, it will give you condition on W on shifted imaginary line, and it will give condition on Q when x is smaller than zero. Again, because it will be like e to the sum power, which is one half will be minus one. This just gives a complete answer if we positive traces are in one-to-one correspondence with polynomials Q with some additional conditions that they are positive and they are positive maybe on for positive numbers, positive or negative, for negative numbers, and maybe zero at zero. So it can be checked that Q is a non-negative polynomial of degree of some degree d0 times 1x or x squared. So the traces are, positive traces are in one-to-one correspondence with polynomials of degree at most d0, from n minus 1 to n minus 4. So yeah, it depends on parity of n, choice of plus or minus, and whether trace is twisted or untwisted. Are there any questions up to this point? This gives a complete answer when all roots are good, when they belong to this open strip. If they are not good, then take some additional terms that morally correspond to taking a different contour of integration. So if we had this line and we had a bad root that goes from the left when we take a contour that also goes to the left in the direction of that root. And similarly, if there are several bad roots. Yeah, kind of. So like root and all its negative integer shifts should be to the left, and like positive should be to the right, something like that. And it can be done for all roots simultaneously. It can be checked that if there is just bad roots, they do not change this set of positive traces at all. If we have these roots on the boundary, they give this additional non-negative trace, so it's non-negative, but it's often zero, taking R of alpha, and this multiplies the cone by non-negative real numbers. So we get the answer that we choose this A, we choose conjugation. L is the number of good roots. R is the number of middle roots on the boundary, divided by half, divided by 2. So then we have two pieces. First, described this non-negative. This cone of non-negative polynomials on the real line, and this is this additional piece in non-negative numbers to the power r. Are there any questions? Okay. Yeah, so you can see that sometimes if n is less than 4 and we choose a correct conjugation, then we get the space of positive traces is one-dimensional. So positive trace is unique. And BMP Larsen-Stelle considered these cases, and they made a conjecture that a positive trace is always unique, but it turned out not to be true for all n greater than 4. So like the maximum possible dimension here is n minus 4, at least, which is more than 1. So let me provide examples of these traces with corresponding weights. So if n equal to 1, the conjugation is given by this on a Weyl algebra, and weight is just 1 over cosine. It's a positive quantity, stuff like that. And we take n equal 2, central reduction of U of SL2, then, just by looking at the roots, we see that positive trace exists if this constant term is greater than minus 1, 4. So roots are either on imaginary line, or they're real, but less than 1 half. This corresponds to spherical unitary representations of SL2. So if this C is greater than 0, imaginary roots, we get a spherical principal series representation. If this is C is from 0 to minus 1 half, we get complementary series representations, which are spherical. And the corresponding weight is given again by products, by product of two cosines, depending on the square root of C. So this is an explicit computation of traces, and article there are some results on short subproducts. How are they corresponding? Orthogonal polynomial.
I just want to check. The difference from the perspective of SL2 is the value of the chasm here.
Yes.
Right. And I'm looking through the minus 4, minus 1 over 4, and the minus 1 over half are correct. So you want to consider, if you're considering C between minus 1 half and 0, that includes some where C is smaller than minus 4. Is that what you want to do?
Oh wait, sorry. It should be. These two numbers should be the same. It's minus 1/4 here and minus 1/4 minus 1/4 here.
I wonder if something went off with like squares and.
It went off here. So like beta should be either from 0 to 1/2 or imaginary. I have 5 minutes, yes? Or 1 or 2?
If people need to run away, they can run away. But I'm okay with giving you a couple more minutes.
Okay, let's Let's see, fine. Okay, so okay, we have a similar formula of, in the case of Q deformations. So again, K equals to zero, so we just interchange Q and V with and multiply them by some number of absolute value one. Okay, P of X is real in unit circle. And there is a similar way to construct traces, where now instead of just one periodic functions, we take two periodic, quasi-periodic functions, periodic in this direction, quasi-periodic in this direction. And again, we have a condition on the poles of W, so it has poles on sort of prescribed prescribed points given by this condition, logarithms of roots of pi of p. And the formula here is the integral over a circle. Integrate r over a circle, not over imaginary line. But here it becomes circle. And again, the condition is that if roots are good, if they belong now to this open angles from q to q minus 1, where q is positive, then all traces are obtained in this way. If roots are not good, then we, similar to before, have to deform this contour somehow, or take this like additional traces given by values of polynomials. The answer is similar in the case of filtered deformation, with important difference that nothing matters. Not whether trace is twisted or untwisted. This degree is always, number of roots is always even, so it doesn't matter. And also the choice of this row also doesn't matter. Is it plus or minus? If we have these good roots, and if we have these roots on the boundary, then similar to before, it's a product of a cone for good roots times these additional terms. But now for good, this cone corresponding to good roots can be described. So we have to use not polynomials, but elliptic functions. So if we like take this L random points, which are symmetric with respect to a real line, then this is just a set of elliptic functions with these poles positive on r and r plus tau over 2. These are elliptic functions with periods 1 and tau is purely imaginary. So like on this rectangle, they are on the horizontal lines in this rectangle, they are positive, non-negative. So we get, like, this is an answer similar to what was before. And okay, so we can do similar things for bimodules, which I won't tell in details, it can be done similarly. We have for Q deformations and K not equal to zero, we have to use a different reasoning. So not all traces are obtained as an integral, and we have to like proof that if trace is positive, it can be defined as an integral. So it's just not true that some traces just grow too fast. They cannot be expressed as an integral over some contour. There are future directions to generalize this to other abelian Higgs branches, more general Higgs branches, and like other K-theoretic Coulomb branches. This is this paper. Thank you for listening.
So one thing I was sort of thinking about, at least the row that I think usually shows up in W's, where it usually has that minus sign in it of like, for the Kleinian singularity, it would be something like U goes to V and V goes to minus one to the N times U.
It's the same as was written, so if you...
And I mean, you did use that in the algebra case.
Yes, it's just, it was just written differently. So if you take C equal to zero, then U goes to I and V, and V goes to I to the N U. So if you multiply, for odd n, this is like u goes to iv, v goes to iu, and if you multiply v by I, it's exactly the same. It's just a different way to express it to make formulas more
uniform.
Yes, uniform.
Another question, are there any other types of speculative singularities for which you expect to be able to produce a full answer for positive traces, full description of positive traces?
Can you repeat the beginning of...
Are there any other types of symplectic singularities for which you expect that you can describe completely the answer?
Maybe in the future there will be a lot of new methods that will allow us to describe everything completely, but the most tractable thing are these abelian Higgs branches, because in this paper it has one trace, but it looks really good when written in terms of the dual of Coulomb branch, so it's the same. If we take example of a n Kleinian singularities, it will be the same formula as I wrote. So it's I think it's a good sign, so at least it's a good place to start.
Is there supposed to be a relation between positive traces on the Higgs branch and on the Coulomb branch?
I'm not sure about that. I didn't think about it at all.
And there's this quantum Ikeda conjecture, which says something like twisted traces on one side should be like traces on the cohomology on the other side. So somehow there should be some description of them, but it's something else. And maybe the positive ones have some special property on the other side. I'm not totally sure about that.
With current methods, do you think there is any chance to show that this trace on the skein algebra is unique? With the current shows of all?
I don't know the general definition of skein algebra, but this result on uniqueness for Q deformation and correct quantization, Antolinear map is a good, is promising, but yeah, I don't know what happens after.
Maybe another way to think about Sasha's question is like, is there some geometric property that corresponds to the uniqueness of this positive trace in deformation?
Well, it should depend on this map rho, and I'm not sure how to.
In this vein, right? Suppose I give you a holomorphic symbolic, right? Can I try to, with an holomorphism, can I try to understand geometrically what the twisted trace corresponds to?
I mean, you can do something with twisted traces, but then for positive traces, it's So I mean, I didn't.
It should be some kind of integral over something.
Maybe it should, but we don't know it yet.
So I was going to ask: is there any motivation for why consider these weight functions? Is it just sort of that's what works?
I mean, Pavel talked to someone, to physicists, and physicists explained to Pavel that it should work kind of like this, and then Pavel got this formula, and then we proved everything using it. So, I didn't ask him more what physicist, how exactly it is known in physics.